Hi, welcome to Robot Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kurt. This week we discuss the 100 days, the significance of the Canadian election for the United States, and the state of religion in American politics. Good evening, I'm Eric Kirk.
And hi, I'm Matthew Owen.
And you're watching Redwood Wonk on Access Humboldt. We are talking national political news of the day, and we are talking the first 100 days, the best 100 days ever of any president ever, better than Lincoln, better than Roosevelt. Both of the Roosevelts put together the best 100 days ever. Of course, the stock market is collapsing, but it's Biden's stock market, right? I mean, it just happens to be the worst stock market of any first 100 days of a president, but it's Biden. Biden took over the stock market after he left the presidency. So what do we even say about this, Matt? The first quarter had an actual contraction of the market that is spooking people even more. Today he said something about, so you can't buy 30 dolls. Right. You can only buy two, and maybe they're a little more expensive. Your kids don't need toys. So what are you whining about? I don't even know where to start, Matt. His first 100 days, how do you rate them?
I would say it's polarized on which side of the fence you're on. If you're on the left, you're going, oh my God, what the hell? If you're on the right, you're going, look, he's doing just what he said he's going to do. He's the greatest president ever. That's the way.
And what if you're in the Senate?
If you're in the center, I think that's where he's having big problems right now. These people actually think for themselves, and they're looking at their 401k that's now a 301k going, what the heck happened to that? And why did it go down so fast? Oh, yeah, tariffs. Nobody in the world likes tariffs except, well, two people, President Trump and Peter Navarro's trade advisor. Outside of that, the rest of the world hates us right now for these stupid tariffs. People are slowly understanding that if it costs you $100 to buy a product, if you import it from China, it's going to cost you $245 today. And did you see what Amazon did? Amazon was going to put a separate line on the receipt saying Trump tax tariff and put that 145% tariff on it. Guess who freaked out, called the CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, and says, do not do that. That's unpatriotic to tell the truth. You cannot tell the truth.
Yeah, the president did, after Levitt threw a fit at a press conference, calling it a hostile act. But see, other Amazon competitors are already doing it.
I think every restaurant and every retailer in America should do that. If they have any sort of tariff increase, put a separate line on it and say Trump tariff tax. And that's what the American consumers paying, not China, American consumers.
Yeah.
Eric, I just want to go over this insanity in the first 100 days. We don't have a Gulf of Mexico anymore. That's now called the Gulf of America by one person. Trump wants to annex Canada as our 51st state. I just start laughing when I see this stuff. He wants to invade Greenland. I'm not sure why. I think an average small rural town in America has a larger population than the entire country of Greenland. He wants to invade Panama and take back the Panama Canal. He's just demanded Ukrainian mineral rights for all the money we've given them to fight Russia. No other country is doing this with Ukraine. And I got to bring up a point. If you saw Pope Francis's funeral the other day, Trump walked into the Vatican. It was silent. You could have heard a pin drop. President Zelensky of Ukraine walks in and they stand up and give him a large standing ovation. That is how the world views the leaders of today.
Yeah.
Zelensky's going against a murderous dictator who invaded his country and the whole world's trying to help him. Trump says, you're not giving us enough. You didn't say thank you. Screw you. We're out. I don't get it.
Yeah. And then it was kind of embarrassing because he fell asleep at the funeral too. At a certain point, his age, and when we say age, it's not numerical age, it's age is going to be discussed.
He's not a fit 78-year-old. He's an obese 78-year-old. Big difference. And,
Right. And he did hold the meeting with Zelensky. Both of them said it was productive. We don't know necessarily what that means, but it's... That means
Zelensky said thank you a couple times.
Yes, right. I mean, they know what they need to do to get anything from him, and that's basically to, you know, play to his ego.
This is him.
Yeah. But, you know, and he... for once criticized Putin for the first time, because while he's trying to negotiate this deal where basically as the Ukraine gives up Crimea, and I'm sure he'd be pressured to give up Donetsk and, you know, basically give up everything that Russia currently occupies with no real guarantee of security, certainly not one involving the United States, and give up their mineral rights. For some kind of, and give up the right to be a member of NATO for some type of vague security obligation until Russia decides to push in further and deny it while they're doing it. I mean, you know, and because he wasn't excited about that, he said, you know, we're losing our patience with Zelensky. And then even as he's pressuring Zelensky to accept this, Putin sends missiles into into residential neighborhood. I guess finally Trump said, "Hey, I'm getting you everything you want, or I'm trying to. What are you doing?" You know, express some displeasure at that. I don't even know if Putin bothered to respond. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that right now. Is Zelensky going to give up Crimea? I doubt it. I don't see Ukraine going along with that. It's certainly not a popular idea. So, he is the rock star. Macron came in and shook, there's a film of it, shook Zelensky's hand and completely snubbed Trump. I mean, it just, it's not. We are not favored right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the second segment. But that's our foreign policy. But what about domestically? Now, we, as I mentioned, we've got an economic contraction that is freaking investors out. On Friday, we'll get our unemployment report. We'll see what's happening. But hiring has slowed down April, at least according to initial reports. We don't have a whole lot of inflation right now, despite the tariffs, but that's probably not a good sign that where people are getting raises and jobs. You know, it's just and also consumer confidence is at a real low.
This month was big for a couple different things. On April 2nd, Trump came out with Liberation Day when he came out with all his tariffs throughout the world. The stock and bond markets crashed immediately, and the Wall Street CEOs had to call him and say, stop this insanity. You are starting a recession. You alone. Second, April 30th today is actually the 50th anniversary of the United States getting out of Vietnam. If you ever remember the infamous things of the soldiers and the CIA on the rooftop of the Saigon, what's that called, embassy, as the last helicopter left. So 50 years later, guess who's a big trading partner of ours today?
Yeah.
Vietnam. Vietnam. Goods and money, then trade bullets and bombs. I keep trying to tell this to everybody. The other thing I want to say is the interesting thing about April 2nd, his Liberation Day, that's the day that the cargo containers, the ocean vessels, started slowing down. It's estimated that Asia's cargo vessels coming to the United States are down 60% so far. That's going to continue to increase. What's going to happen is going to have less and less goods coming here, but more importantly, less and less raw materials. So the American manufacturers can't produce their goods. This leads to just a cycle of layoffs are going to come. Trucking is already down.
He claims that companies are already investing in American factories.
He lies like he does with everything else. When they asked him to name, he said, I've got 200 deals done with these countries. They said, name one country. Well, I can't tell you. We're just working on it. Name one single country. They could not name one.
Right. 200 deals. So there's 200 countries. So that means he's got to deal with every single country. So it's just, I mean, you know, all of them. I know it's so I mean, he, you know, he's the traffic coming across the border has really slowed down, although it was slowing down under Biden. But it has really slowed down. But, you know, we're really hostile. But for whatever reason, his popularity, even on the border or with immigration policy, is down. And it's probably because of the draconian way he's treating them, the overkill. That's, you know, because when you talk about policy, it's the whole thing. We also don't know how many people are coming in, because, you know, one of the reasons we had high numbers before is people used to turn themselves in to apply for asylum. They don't do that anymore. So we don't know how many are coming across. I don't believe that only 9 people came across the border, made it across the border last month. How did they even come up with that figure of 9 people, right? I mean, that's not what's being officially
reported.
That was, you know, I know. It's like, I'm waiting to catch those 9 people then. But that was his one strong point. He's tanking in the polls. He's in some polls, he's down in the 30s in terms of approval rating. He's really not popular on any of the individual issues with any of the polls. He's starting to sink in Rasmussen.
Right. Except for immigration, he's not popular. Border security, they love him. It's just like Frank Luntz, the pollster, talks about the language they use. When they say immigration, they look at all these people being detained, basically being kidnapped and renditioned out of the country with no due process. You were talking about the one guy, I've got his name here. Let's see if I get it straight. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who was deported to El Salvador's CICOP prison. He had protected status in the U.S. since 2019. He was married to a U.S. citizen, had a 5-year-old son. The Trump administration claimed he was an MS-13 gang member because they showed the MS-13 tattoos on his knuckles. Here's my favorite part. Guess what they did? They photoshopped MS-13 on his photo.
Yeah.
And then showed that in Fox News saying, see, this guy was a gang member. We had to deport him. Yeah. When it came out, they photoshopped it. They kind of walked that story back and say, yeah, but we're going to go with it. He was here illegally, so that makes him a bad guy. Do you know how many people in Southern California are there illegally? It's in the millions. Are they going to deport each and every one of them? Most of these people are hardworking, tax-paying people in the community. Are some of them criminals? Yes. And if they're a criminal doing violent crime, get them out. I wish we can get out the white trash that does violent crime. Send them down to El Salvador.
Well, that's just it. Well, he's talking about trying to do that. I mean, but he can't. It's not, there's no legal basis for it. You can't
understand
and send a citizen out. But I know there's even a meme going around too with Ms. Leavitt, the press secretary, covered with gang tattoos now, calling her La Chica, you know, I forget something. And so it's just like, you know, he said really made a mistake today too in an interview where he said he could have Garcia home, but he's not going to. So what he's now saying is that he's deliberately flouting. Before he said he could, now he's saying he could, but he won't. So now he's basically saying that he's deliberately not following court orders.
Sorry, United States Supreme Court. I just gave the middle finger to you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, he's basically admitting that there's a constitutional crisis because he's not doing it. I mean, you know, and J.D. Vance saying, you know, where do judges believe they could, tell the president what to do? And of course, I guess J.D. Vance, when he went to law school, never learned about Marbury versus Madison.
Update.
Yeah, but at any rate, you know, we do have, the 300 days and the other policies that he was hired to do. I mean, you know, the building of infrastructure, forget it. He's not doing anything other than wanting to drill in the Arctic. He is talking about converting federal lands for housing. I mean, if he wants to take old military bases and convert them to housing, there's a lot of housing there of buildings just sitting there. Great. But I don't know that he's taking any steps to do that. And then DOG, of course, the big guy is spending more of his time going back and trying to save his company after sales dropped 70%. I don't know what he's going to do to save it. You've got all these people saying, oh, you liberals, you have to go back buying Teslas. No, I'm not going to buy an electric car. I don't buy electric cars. I don't believe in it. It's like, oh, why aren't you buying them? You know, and it's just it's kind of interesting, but there's plenty of other electrical cars to buy. Those big truck things are kind of gouty anyways. I mean, it's just
Cybertruck.
Plus they lock when they explode and they go on fire. They lock you inside. That itself is not a selling point to me. But anyway, I mean, DOG is already having effect here. We've got people being laid off from social services, including child abuse prevention locally. It's having an effect. Yeah, we'll see where it goes, but they're certainly not cutting into the military budget.
Eric, are you familiar with Frank Luntz, the pollster?
Yes.
You see him a lot on the shows. He just did a focus group with the Republicans. By the way, 86% of the Republicans still love Trump and what he's doing. Doesn't matter what he does. They love him. But they asked him, the stock market's down 10% since the day Trump was inaugurated. Are you comfortable with that? And their response was, it was overpriced and it needed a correction. Said nobody ever.
Okay. Well, we'll be back talking about these issues. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Meanwhile, in the 51st state, there was an election this earlier in the week, and Mr. Carney won the election. He was of the Liberal Party. Canada has a parliamentary system. There are multiple parties, but it really did come down this time to the Liberal and the Conservative Party, otherwise known as the Tory Party, connected to the British Tory Party. The Pierre Poilievre, who was running for premier as for the Conservatives, actually failed to win his own seat. I'm kind of curious as to what would have happened had the Conservatives won the most seats, but he didn't. He was the candidate. I don't know that he could have been premier if he didn't win his own seat. But anyway, we don't have to find that out. While the Liberals did come up with the plurality, it appears that they don't have an outright majority. They have, I believe the amount is to date 169. I think they need something like 173 for a majority. Conservatives have 144 of the seats. Quebec Bloc have about 22. New Democrat have about 7, despite getting the same amount of votes as 6.3. It's not exactly proportional representation. It can be different if you're scattered around. And the Green Party has 1 seat, which they're up from 0 the last time around. So the Liberals are going to have to put together a coalition with somebody. My guess is it'll be the New Democrats. But they will have a government. This is very interesting because just as recently as 3 months ago,
100 days to be exact.
The Liberals were in the tank. They were in a couple polls in third place, and Trudeau had not yet resigned, although there was a lot of pressure on him to do so. There was no way. The Conservatives looked like they were going to ride to an easy victory. They were very popular, and it it looked like doom for the liberals.
Gee, Eric, did anything happen 100 days ago, Eric?
Yeah, what happened? I know. And I mean, the conservatives in there's probably no group of people right now that hate Trump more than the Canadian Conservative Party. I mean, in he comes talking about, you know, not only the tariffs, but talking about, you know, making Canada the 51st state, and then imposing, threatening 25% tariffs, and you know, talking about how Canada is basically the enemy, and I rallied the country against him. Conservatives were forced to compliment Trudeau for the way he stood up to him, and they got into this position that reminded me of the Cold War politics in the United States, where Democrats found themselves having to show that they were just as tough against the Soviet Union as the Republicans, and the conservatives were in this poor spot of saying, hey, I can stand up to Trump too, but they didn't have a record of that, right? You know, and it just, you know, it wasn't, and so the liberals got a lot of votes. The people who normally voted for the new Democrats just said, we don't want to take a chance. They bolted. There were new Democrats actually lost a lot of seats because their voters just said, we need to have somebody in there that's going to stand up to this. But the conservatives actually gained seats, but they lost voters. It's really strange. It's just how the weird thing that happens. The Quebec Bloc also lost a few voters. It's a strange way things happen, but they this is a country that we have turned against us. I mean, and this is an ally. This is
a friend and neighbor,
a trade partner,
and we share a border with them.
It's like one of the big, largest borders in the world. I mean, it's just, and we do the trade now. I mean, we're like the one that we used to buy all their oil. They're looking for other places for it now to sell.
Right.
You know, they have these big deposits under their shale. There's just all kinds of agreements. We sell stuff to them. We buy their meat. It's just astounding that we've done this. And they are, and right now, they have targeted tariffs. One of the things that in Canada, unlike the United States, is that each of their individual regions are allowed to have their own kind of economic policies. And so British Columbia, for instance, has decided they're not buying alcohol from red states. They can target it. Right. You know, so Kentucky and because of that and a couple of the others territories, Kentucky bourbon had to lay off 100 workers. Right. You know, so it's just but they'll buy from California. So, for instance, Humble Vodka, you know, we're probably going to expand our markets because of it. I mean, it's just it won't hurt the California wine industry. It is astounding what has happened. And this is, this is just Canada. We've also turned the EU against us. I mean, the EU, because of the tariffs, the woman who heads it up, I'm forgetting the name at the moment, but she said that there are countries all over the world that are contacting them about talking about, you know, trying to make up for the trade that they just are not going to be able to do with the United States, even with the 10%, because the 10% may not be as crazy as what was being threatened, but it's still a lot. And it's, you know, it means that they're not going to be able to sell goods here.
So, Eric, American farmers have the huge market in soybeans. Guess who the number one importer of American soybeans was?
China.
You know what China said? Here's my middle finger. We're not buying your soybeans. There's other countries that we could buy from. How would you like to be an American farmer who just lost your number one market?
Yeah, there's an NPR story that goes into detail about it, interviewing people. And like you said, there's some of them that still support Trump, but they don't understand it. Last time around, when some of these things happened, they got subsidies. But they don't want subsidies. They want to run their family businesses, right? You know, I mean, it's and besides, how are we going to pay for these subsidies? You know, it's that's got to be budgeted. You know, DOG wants to cut everything. So that's going to be a big fight. And I mean, it's this is big. And Canada is not the only country, but that was probably our friendliest trade partner. And it's the problem is that even if, once Trump is out of office, it's going to take probably decades to repair that.
Yep. And Frank Lutz, the American pollster, talked about how do Trumpers not see the damage he's doing to our economy, especially like you're saying, if you're a farmer. And Frank Lutz brought up the Simon Garfunkel song, The Boxer. A man sees what he wants to see and disregards the rest. If all you're seeing is Fox News all day long, telling you that everything's great, you actually believe it, no matter how bad it is.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah. Which or is so even on Biden.
Yeah. That's just the state of our, not news, but propaganda in America today.
Well, it's hard. People suffer. I mean, this is something I haven't been a Marxist since I was 17 years old. But one thing he did talk about was how what was what they called false consciousness. They accepted the blame for it. Or it, actually, even a better quote was from who wrote of Mice and Men, Steinbeck, saying that the problem with trying to organize people in America is there's so many working people who see themselves as temporarily frustrated millionaires, that if they could just do it right, so they blame themselves for these things. I could be like Trump, and so if I'm suffering, it's my fault. So there is a lot of that. I do think there's going to be limits with farmers, because farmers are people who are self-made, and they're going to know that it's not their fault. But they aren't the majority voting bloc, even in their states.
And the other part of the world I want to talk about, Erica, is Asia. As we put all these tariffs on Asian countries, guess who's moving in to become trading partners with Singapore, with Hong Kong, with Vietnam, India, anywhere they can, China. China's saying, you don't need the United States. We've got your products here. Tell us what you need. Let's trade.
Yeah. Yeah. And the United States saying, we don't need to have economic relations with China. You can't really cut yourself off from 1/4 of the world's population. It's just,
it's not smart.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. And China has also been working on entering into Africa, which may not have a lot of capital right now, but in the future, if they build up, they're working on building roads and everything. We're not investing in that. We're cutting back.
They want Africa's minerals is what they want.
Yeah. And right. But it's eventually it's going to develop like Latin America did. Latin America has much more diversified economy. Brazil makes cars. Chile. I mean, it's just you think of the future. But all of this, well, we need to cut foreign aid. When Kennedy started the Alliance for Progress and set all of the aid going into other countries, it was considered investments. These were capitalist programs, not socialists. These were ideas, the Peace Corps, all of it was about building infrastructure and investing as an idea about the future. And in a lot of countries, it worked. In Asia, it worked. And in whenever there weren't wars, it worked. And in Latin America, it worked. And eventually in Africa, it's going to work. And who's in Africa right now? Russia and Asia. Who's pulling out? Because we don't want to give foreign aid. You help Americans first. Us.
Right.
China. Interesting point there, too, Erica. You saw, you saw the newspaper. A bunch of local people were just laid off from AmeriCorps.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
doing stupid things left and right. I don't understand what their thought process is. You also brought up the point, we live in a global economy, and things were working really good until 100 days ago. Trump keeps saying, you know, they've been stealing trillions of dollars from us. A trade deficit is not a loss. We still had the highest per capita income in the world. Our standard of living compared to the rest of the world is so much higher. I'm not sure why this threw a wrench in the middle of a well-run engine and saying, I'm just going to screw things up because I believe in tariffs. Yeah. I don't understand.
I encourage people, you know, if we've got any people who identify as conservatives watching this, vote Republican consistently, go to YouTube, look up, what was the name of the economist? Milton Friedman, tariffs. Okay. Look up any videos, Milton Friedman, tariffs. Look up
Ronald Reagan on tariffs.
Look up Ronald Reagan, tariffs. And I get in debates with people who are Trump supporters who are even a little bit older who say, well, the world was different back then. The world, you know, we had friendlier trade partners. No, we didn't. We in the 90s, Republicans and Clinton teamed up to start these trade agreements that I don't even agree with. But the trade deficits were even worse back then. And we were up against even worse tariffs. And Ronald Reagan said, yes, we're up against tariffs, but we're better off not trying to counter them with our own tariffs because, we benefit by not taxing the products coming in. Our consumers do better and we do better with free trade. And eventually they drop their tariffs when they realize that, they benefit from our products. It was actually worse back then. Japan had tariffs against us. They eventually dropped them because it wasn't in their best economic interests in the long run. Again, it's not my philosophy. This is conservative economics. I actually think that there are places for tariffs specifically targeted with specific situations for a limited period of time, and you dump them when they've accomplished their purposes because they are destructive to an economy.
Right. It's amazing just how the political differences, if you're left or right, how you view this. I've had Republican friends said, well, we needed a reset. I'm looking at them going, what are you talking about? The economy is going along great. Besides, you guys live off government checks. You don't work. What do you care?
Yeah. So, because what the dominant Republican ideology back then was free enterprise.
Right.
What it is now is economic nationalism. And that's dangerous. That's what it was in the 1930s. That is how you get, people always say, why do you say fascism is right wing when it involves more government involvement? That's economic nationalism. Industrialists like it. Ford was for a corporatist policy because he wanted, the working class to be able to afford his expensive products, right? He wanted it back as a social wage. Industrialists of Germany, not all of them, but most of them were happy with Hitler's economic policies. They weren't happy that he dragged them into a war, but they were happy with his economic policies. He privatized public industries. He killed the Strasser brothers who were responsible for the word socialist ending up in the Nazi name, but for those policies. But yeah, it's a long story. But this is what happens. That's when the right goes around in the horseshoe and starts to meet the left, when you've got nationalism that's so strong that you let it affect free market policies. And we're kind of doing that right now. I don't want to compare Trump to Hitler. I think there's other authoritarians that are much more applicable. But economic nationalism, the far right in this country embraced it in the 1930s, and they were friendly to Hitler until they weren't. Henry Ford liked Hitler until he got crazy.
Charles Lindbergh like Hitler.
Charles Lindbergh, Errol Flynn, sort of. You know, it's just, I mean, there was a lot there. Jesse Owens, of all people, thought he was a great guy until World War II. So anyway, it's just, you know, there's a lot of a lot to be afraid of here. But it's very interesting, the transformation of the Republican Party over these four decades. Pardon me.
Reagan wouldn't recognize the Republican Party today, nor could he get elected, nor could George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush.
No, George Bush is persona non grata in the party. We'll be talking about economic nationalism in the future. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
And finally.
Yeah. So finally, we're going to talk a little bit philosophically here. I'm not a particularly a religious person. I did sort of flirt with religion when I was in college. And I had a Catholic girlfriend who kind of dragged me to church a few times. And I was kind of fascinated with it. But I did learn a lot about religion, and I did, as a history major, study Protestant fundamentalism in particular. And so I'm very familiar with evangelism and where it went, and it became as a movement. And when you have the new right, we talk about the new right being Trumpism, but actually in 1980, Reaganism was the new right, and there was the radical right, led by a figure that nobody under 40, maybe even 50, has heard of, Reverend Jerry Falwell, who led along with Phyllis Schlafly, who's credited with killing the Equal Rights Amendment, forgetting the name of the singer who was against gay rights, that got the pie in her face, the orange juice woman, Anita Bryant. I mean, there was a movement that was an evangelical movement that was, and there were radio stations across the country that fought what they referred to as secular humanism. I was even accused of that on campus. He said, "You're a secular humanist." I'm a what? I didn't even know what the word secular meant. I was a freshman, and I'm like, I'm being called something that I'd never even heard of before. And so it was a bad word when they told me what it meant. I said, "Well, that actually doesn't sound so bad, right? At least I'm a humanist, right?" And because it seemed like humanist was a pretty good thing, but there was this movement to basically bring biblical values to the public era. And it was focused on abortion, on family values, which was
no gay rights.
What's that?
Translates to no gay rights, especially no trans.
Yeah, right. Family values. Yeah. And we didn't even have the word trans back then. It was just that everything was jumbled into being gay or not gay, and that was, pretty much was the agenda. Also, you know, women staying in the home and not working. But that as the economy changed as the post-war, as the unions started to decline a lot under Reagan, by the way, and the post-war wages started to decline. Real wages have been declining steadily since 1971. It stopped being an option to have a single family bread earner for most people. That is one of the things they see. They blame no fault divorce. They blame feminists for the fact that there are a lot of women in the workforce. But quite frankly, there are a lot of people, a lot of women who might not be in the workforce if they didn't need it to keep their house. You know, I mean, it's just that's just the way it is. And so, you know, we talk about what are the causes of it. Is it, feminism or is it capitalism? But the point I wanted to get at is we have this this religious movement, and they chose Ronald Reagan, whom they believed to be God-fearing. Not quite sure that Reagan was all that much of a Christian. His wife actually was into astrology. That was a little bit of a controversy in the second term. And George Bush and the rest, they do attend church, but they're... And then it was light. I think he was Episcopalian or something. I don't remember, but they did at least go to church. We have somebody now who even admitted at one point that he's not a Christian. He certainly doesn't act like one. He's got close to 30 women who have accused him of things. We know he's had an affair. He doesn't even completely deny it, at least one affair, probably multiple affairs, talks about grabbing women by the parts, and he just doesn't act in any way Christian. How do they justify this? And yet he's got full evangelical Christian right backing. And not all. There are some who say, hey, he is not somebody who is worthy of our support. We should support people who live our values. Pence, for instance, who does live it. He will not have lunch, even a business lunch, with a woman alone unless somebody, another adult person is present, right? Another adult male. He does, he considers that to be a form of adultery. He lives a Christian life. Trump does not live a Christian life. So why are they, and I'm going to put it to you first, Matt, why are evangelicals, so many of them, the right-wing evangelicals, embracing this guy as an agent of God?
I have no idea. No idea. So do you watch the Lincoln Project? Ever seen their ads?
Yeah.
Have you seen their ads?
Yes, I have.
They did one a couple years back when Trump first got elected of a guy, a 20-year-old kid, wakes up from a coma. He'd been in a coma for like months. And they say, hey, Trump got elected. He goes, well, that's great. He goes, yeah, he got accused of having an affair with a porn star. And he goes, oh, man, the evangelicals must be just banging on him. He goes, yeah, you know, somehow they just kind of overlooked it and everything's okay. So I can't explain it. I have no idea why any evangelical would get behind Trump at all.
The explanation is that they look, you okay? All right. Well, there is an explanation. And the explanation has to do with the belief that, that Protestant America is, pardon me, that the world is a fallen world. It is run by sin. And that we are all sinful people. There are no saints, and we can't expect people to live as saints. We can't expect them to be perfect. We can't expect them to be perfect. They're going to falter. They're going to not be perfect. We during the 1980s we had a number of evangelical leaders that had scandals, some of them sexual, some of them financial. I remember what was his name saying, I have sinned in tears and blah blah blah, and Oral Roberts was one of them. The guy who was related to the rock star, they all had affairs and all of these things, but they admitted they'd sinned, they fell, and they confessed. And that's what, and so being biblical, it's about forgiveness of your sins. And I'll get back to that later. David, King David, actually was married. He actually was in love with somebody else. then and that was someone was married to somebody, and it was a soldier underneath him, some officer or something. He sends that guy off on a hopeless mission to get killed so that he can bang the guy's wife, right? That's not perfect, right? You know, and yet he is like, we have the Star of David. He's like the biggest hero, you know, killed Goliath and started the kingdom of Israel, right? So it's just, so, you know, if we can see David as a leader that God is working through, why not Trump? Well, you know, the problem is that Trump doesn't apologize. There's no humility. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't get up in front of the stage and in tears and say, I have sinned. I apologize. There's no example of seeking of redemption there. So that's the mystery part. You know, it's like, yes, people fall, they make mistakes, but he admits no mistakes. So he must be, and so there are MAGA people that believe he is the second coming of Jesus. Not very many of them, but there are people that believe it. He can do no wrong. It's amazing. And there are people who are in the evangelical crowd that are not left-wing by any stretch of the imagination, but they believe that he might be the Antichrist. They're not political, but they believe that so many people are following him that he is the mark of the beast, and he might be the one who's claiming there's peace. And it's a weird thing, but this is it. There is no other than to get woke stuff out of the schools, to kill off abortion and anti-LGBTQ. And like, there really isn't a religious right agenda other than with the schools and to take rights from women. Get the Ten Commandments in the schools, you know, and that's about it. Okay, so they win and they get to post the poster. And now they're working right now. There's a case before the Supreme Court as to whether or not they can open up religious charter schools that can collect tax money. And, that's going to be interesting. And of course, immediately the Church of Satan intends to take advantage of that. If it happens, they don't really believe in Satan, but you know, they're doing it anyway. I don't know, thoughts?
I'm thinking that governments that are run on theology typically fly planes into buildings. God is not perfect, yet in some religions they think God is. Have you actually read the Old Testament? God was very...
The Old Testament's pretty harsh. Yeah.
It's murder, rape, pillage, slavery. It was pretty ugly. So I think the only thing, like you said, they're just getting behind Trump because of they think he's going to stop abortions. And I always ask people who are against abortion, that's great to have that opinion. How many unwanted children have you adopted? I always get the stink eye after that. They never answer that question. Yeah. So the second thing is exactly what you said. I think they're going after the LGBT community saying, we don't want anything to do with gay or trans rights. Get them out of the life. We want family values again. So that's the only thing I can think of. I have no idea why they're behind Trump at all.
Yeah. You know, there's a few senators written. Did you know that there is actually no mention of lesbianism, of homosexuality between women anywhere in the Bible? It's not prohibited. It's not mentioned. There's no instance of it. People have kind of presented, there's a mock theological thing saying that it must be sanctioned by God if there's no prohibition of it. There's a brief reference in Romans 1. There is a saying that that women should not do unnatural things with each other. But that, unnatural things, that's wide interpretation. That's not, you know. In a similar quote, it says a man shall not lay down as he would with a woman, but that's physically impossible. So it's what does that even mean? That's the only reference anywhere in the New Testament. Old Testament, death penalty for men, no reference to women whatsoever. And it has something to do with why later, many centuries later, Queen Elizabeth refused to sign a law banning lesbianism.
In the Old Testament, if you covet another man's wife, you are to be stoned to death. Half the people in the world should be stoned to death.
Well, it says you're not supposed to covet, the other wife. Right. It doesn't mean you get stoned to death. You get if you're a man and you commit adultery, you get exiled. If you're a woman and you commit adultery, you get stoned to death. If you covet, you just get punished by God because they can't catch you coveting. They can only catch you acting. You're definitely not supposed to commit adultery. Later in the New Testament, it says if you're thinking about having adultery, you've committed it. I've always, and of course, George Carlin says, well, God, once I've thought about it, I might as well go do it since I'm going to get punished the same thing anyway, right?
It's a great thing about being Catholic. You can go do whatever the hell sin you want as long as you say, Father, I have sinned. I am sorry.
You got it right. You get absolved and then hope you die before you sin again because that's there. But the religious right has been around for a long time. They fought modernism. It was a big movement coming into the 20th century. They didn't like the changes they were making. And I'm sure you've seen Inherit the Wind and read about the Scopes Monkey Trial. That was William Jennings Bryan. Now, interesting thing is in the movie, he's portrayed as kind of a right winger, but he left the Woodrow Wilson. He was Secretary of State under Woodrow Wilson. He left under protest of entering World War I. And what he didn't like about science was that it was being used to devise all these horrible methods for killing people, mustard gas, chlorine, and all of that. What he didn't like about evolution was the social Darwinism that was being developed, eugenics and the rest. He actually had progressive reasons for adopting anti-evolutionary purposes. He talks about it, why he called it evolution. He was an interesting, complex person. And there were real movements that there were. You had the social doctrine, where there were Christian socialists that had for prohibition, and feminists who were for prohibition because when men drank, women got beaten up. I mean, there's a lot of interesting perspectives, and the religious right has kind of changed what it used to be. It wasn't right wing and left wing from one era to the next means different things. And being a feminist from one era to the next means different things. And it's complicated. And so I don't think Jerry Falwell would recognize this. I actually don't think Jerry Falwell would back President Trump.
Jerry Falwell Jr. had an affair. Yeah. It was dumb enough to take a photo with booze in his hand. And there's no drinking allowed at Liberty University. And this redhead friend of his, and they're both, he's got his pants undone. You're like, what the hell? I'm going to go have an affair and drink at a college that you don't allow sex or alcohol. I'm not going to be, say, take a picture of us. We look good here.
And when you're talking about a university that also did not allow interracial dating without permission from both parents. But
I was waiting for you to say permission from God.
we'll end it on that. This brings us to predictions. What do you got, Matt?
I'm predicting this is the start of the U.S. slide into a recession. April's contraction was just the start. As things slow down on our global economy, May is not going to be any better, nor is June, and the number's going to get worse. Let's see how MAGA responds when they're getting laid off and their businesses are going under because of one person and his policies.
All right. Pete Hegseth, the opposition to him, as he's had a second signal controversy, and also things are coming out about how sloppy he is, and Republicans are starting to become very uneasy. Bolton today called for his resignation for his own safety. I believe that there are going to be calls for him to resign that are going to increase. I believe that once things quiet down a bit, Trump is going to actually basically fire him when it appears to be his own idea and he can say that he wasn't pressured. We'll see if any of these things come true. Until then, until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.